They just took it out. Because this is the way the game is played. When you're trying to create confusion and you cut your tail off so you can't be hit.
Anytime we see the sea, we should think of some of the same things.
I don't like to get into that terminology, and the reason is because the word Hashatan in Hebrew means an adversary, and that's all it means. An adversary. There is no writing on this planet that is sacred to these people. None. And they have been in charge of them for thousands of years. Did anybody see the movie Stigmata? Stigmata was about a woman who was receiving the marks of Christ, and she just, you know, magically they would appear on her and she'd bleed all over the floor. She was only getting them one at a time, though, and every other week or every other day or whatever stupid thing was happening with it. Well, the message of the movie was that, what? This was the entire message of the movie for public consumption. It was put out there by Hollywood, and I guarantee you it was public notice. The kingdom of God is inside you and all around you. This is the public message. I mean, it was all over that movie, all the way through the thing. The kingdom of God, they even supposedly found lost writings of Jesus Christ, supposedly, even though there was never a Jew named Jesus. It's a Greek word, and I don't know what to tell anybody. It's just a Greek word. Hebrews don't name their kids Greek words. The Talmud said it was better to eat pig flesh than to speak the Greek language. They hated them people. They hated them. That's just the way it was. It's no mystery. They hated them. I think they still hate them. A lot of Christians hate them, too. I don't know why. They claim their Messiah was one of them. It's amazing to me. Egos just kill me. It's like, I know that I don't know everything. I know what has been revealed and what research we've done, but this is just scratching the surface.
Okay, if there was no Jew named Jesus, in your opinion, what was the proper way to pronounce the Messiah's name?
Did you see the Passion?
No, I did not.
They may have gotten a little wrong, because a lot of them like to use this spelling right here. This is incorrect. I'll just tell you, because of phonetically and symbolically, Desert and I did some search on this. We really believe it's more correct this way. Y-E-S-H-U-A is Yeshua. Okay? And they'll pronounce it that way. But Y-A-H-S-H-U-A is Yahshua. Phonetically, this was what got me about how they changed the vowels and stuff, because the vowels were the link. And I'm going to get into that in a minute. I didn't get this from anywhere other than walking my dogs. I don't know why. That's where I like to get my inspiration, I guess. Years ago, I didn't care about animals. Today, I love them, because I've learned more from my dogs about love and probably as much or more about it than anywhere I ever learned it, because you can shout and scream and do all kinds of stuff with them, and they just come back and lick you in the face, you know? Like, gee, where do you get these things from? I didn't care anything about them as a kid because I had no belief system about them, you know? My dad, he trained me when I was 5 years old. Cat crapped on the bed one day. He picked him up and threw him out the door and broke his leg. So then he went and ran the rifle and shot. I went, wow, I hope I never break my leg. Parents teach all kinds of crazy stuff. They're raising adults. Okay, did that answer your question?
Yes.
Let me go back in history. Now, why this confusion with what I call the langrage, the languages? In my opinion, there was an event that happened in history that these people learned a lot from, about confusing people's tongues. Does anybody know what that one is?
No.
Tower of Babel. It's where we get the name baby. Blech, I can't talk. Babel, that's what they do. And I'll tell you this, that's what these people consider that we do. The Illuminati, that's what they believe. They believe that they were picked, that they're destined. If you don't believe it in their symbology, I'll tell you real quick, that they change their symbology all the time as they need to, as their people live and die and progress through whatever generations they progress through, or whatever star they become or whatever, right? What did this used to be? Wal-Mart. What is it today? What is the hyphen today? It's a star. When Sam Walton died, they took the hyphen out. He became illumined, and he's a star. This stuff is before us, but we've not been trained to see it. I wasn't trained to see it. I had a friend of mine tell me about it. I went, wow, that's pretty interesting. So now I get to rob it from him and tell you guys. He doesn't have an ego, though. He don't care. This event at the Tower of Babel says that the Creator, we'll call him Yahweh, confused their languages. Why? He confused their tongue. I have a lot of people that say, well, this is where all the languages split. Does it say all the languages on the planet split at that time?
No. Yahweh in Greek or Hebrew is plural, isn't it?
No, you're God? Thinking of the word Elohim.
Elohim, that's right.
I call it Elohim. Elohim is not necessarily plural either. If you want an example of that, everybody likes to talk about plurality and all that kind of stuff. Moses was told that he would go into Egypt and that Yahweh would make him Elohim above Pharaoh. How many Moses went to Egypt? One. I'm telling you this because it's an understanding that this is my understanding. It's my root. I have, you know, we all have certain things that we, foundations that we build on, right? 7 years ago, a lot of mine got torn apart through all this study. My wife, bless her heart, I didn't grow up in the church. I grew up your basic heathen because that's the way I was trained. They kept telling me, don't do as I do, do as I say. And I kept doing what they did. Gee, what is the best form of communication, right? What do we know? The body, the face, all that stuff. Baby falls down, busts its rear end. Mom runs over there. Or the mom's cooking. She goes, oh, ain't that cute? And she laughs and smiles. How's the baby feel? No big deal. Gets up and walks away. Baby falls down, busts its rear end. Oh, my gosh. Ah! Now, what does the baby do? Looks at mom and freaks out and cries. This is the way we're trained. We do. We're training all the time. And we're all sponges. We're all sponges. We haven't lost our childlike capacity at all. Time magazine revealed that the brain is just as active at 80 years old as it is a child. People say, well, I can't learn anything after I get out of school. Why? What happened? I learned more in the past 5 or 6 years than I learned previous 40. The languages were split for one reason. This is my opinion. Because he didn't want the tower built. This thing was a ziggurat. It was a sun-worshipping symbol. He didn't want it built. Of course, around that time, too, this is in Babylon. Of course, I think that was around the time of Nimrod. But we also find a Babylonian ruling later on, right? What was that guy's name? Nebuchadnezzar. Oh, gee. And what planet was in Star Wars?
Naboo.
Naboo. It's this stuff, they're on and on with it, and it's right in front of us. I just think that the Phoenicians saw this event. I think it was them that was building the temple, quite frankly. But they were great imitators, and they went, wow, if they can do this to us, we can do it to everybody else. And it says in history that the Phoenicians, with their shipping culture, that they created systems of interdependency among tribes and people. They would go to one and say, well, we don't want any copper from you. We don't want any cotton either. We just want your tin. They'd go over here, and they say, yeah, that's why they were the Latins, right? The Etruscans, the Latins, because these people were learning how to mix copper and tin together and make bronze. So they were getting different pieces from different cultures, and these cultures were geared toward making one thing. Is any of that going on today? Interdependency? And at the same time, if you're the one that's trading, doing, bringing this product from this one to this one to this one to this one, and you're introducing language changes in every place you go, and now all of a sudden you're controlling the commerce and you're controlling all the languages, who's in control? You got tons of power, and they got none. And that's what they believe. And they just said the word, so we'll go back into this. It goes with their religions as well, because the merchants have created what we have today in our country, a mercantile system. They are doing commerce. And of course, M-E-R just means water or the sea, like a merge. The M-A-R is also, this is just symbology. They changed the E to an A. Now it's maritime, right? Or they changed the E to an I, and it's admirality. All these words relate. Of course, there's other words we like, men like, you know, there's one. My wife's going to love this, right? The mare maid, the maiden of the water. This is how this stuff, the commerce and the admiralty, starts tying back in with the religion. And if you want to tie this back again, who was the god of the shippers and the traders? Absolutely. Go look up Mercury. Do a web search on that dude. He'll blow your mind. He was the god of the shippers and the traders and the merchants, and he was a messenger. He's the postman. He carried all the messages and all the contracts back and forth between the gods and the gods and the people and the gods. All the symbology is right there. The post office, the mailman, the courier. Yeah, Hermes, the FTD florist.
If myrrh is sea or water, have you looked up curry, C-U-R-Y?
Oh, man. Oh, gee. You know what I like about this? You're catching on. Yeah. It's a fact. And that's what we're supposed to do. My ruach, my neshama, rubbing off on everybody else, and everybody else has gifts and talents that rub off on me. This is the way it works. She wants a mic.
The mercantile is the C-H-A-N. Could that be your chai again? So it would be water and power?
Mercant. Actually, I really think the word mercant or merchant, mercant, is because they were praying to Mercury. They were canting.
Chant.
Yes, chant. Of course, we like to change the C-H in English.
I'm thinking about word plays in commerce. When you walk up to somebody and you ask, how are you, haven't you just claimed interest in their principle?
Sure.
Okay.
Is there anything wrong with that?
Is that practicing unrighteous dominion?
No.
An unrighteous claim?
No. We're all here together. I'm concerned about how people are. Go ahead. You're having fun with this, Barbara. I can tell.
Is this on?
Yeah.
Can I offer some information historically on some
Absolutely.
Of this?
I'll sit down.
No. I need the marker. Some of the history that came over from Europe under the kings and the people that came over here. You know, they had. I'm doing this for Britain because Britain had the King of England. And
right,
all that.
Britannia.
Okay. Yeah, the king.
It was called Britannia, by the way, before the Romans took it.
Supposedly lineage from David, who had a divine.
Supposedly.
Right. Yes, divine right, not divine light. It's called the divine light of kings. They twisted it to be divine right of kings. But they were supposedly have a divine light that was passed down, that the king was responsible for the welfare of the people. And so in England, you know, you have people out here and they're on the land and under the barons and all that stuff. And what was happening is the business or the merchants were traveling back around England, and they would go out to do some commerce, and they had pirates out here that would come in and raid their trade routes. And they went to the king, and they said, we need some help out here. You know, these guys, they're getting after us, and we need some protection. And the king said,
I need some money.
The king says, sorry, I'm not responsible for the trade routes. I'm not responsible for this type of activity. I'm responsible to take care of the people. Mm-hmm. You guys are on your own. So they created these associations, and they hired mercenaries and armies and navies to go out and protect the mercantile trade routes. Mm-hmm. And so when they created the district in D.C., that's what all the military is about, is protecting the trade routes for the commerce that comes onto the land for mm-hmm. the United States.
That's absolutely correct. And if you go back to the Star Wars movie that I just mentioned, the battle was between the Trade Federation and the Republic. And the Republic is Rome. The Republic is the people who have been republiced.
Right.
They've been made public again. They're not private. This stuff is centuries old. And people say, well, how does this help me with my IRS problem?
I don't know the correct order, but Mercury, symbolic, is this star. And I believe it's Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And then you have Sunday and Monday in the middle. And you also have the Pentagon in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
And you see the star on military uniforms everywhere.
Oh, yeah. Well, this is another interesting thing because we found some pictures out of World War I where the generals, all the generals, I don't care which side of the battle they were on, they all wore a starburst. That is the Chi Star. I don't care which side of the war they were on, this was on their insignia. Back to Curry. Mercury's name has been divided out. You remember I said Vatican has this place, the Curia? That's where it came from, Mercury. All this stuff ties back to their religion. Why? Because it don't care how we get the people, just get them. Confusion. Just like I said with the words, the CH a while ago, right? CH is a K sound. How do you think that's supposed to be pronounced? Who is that in mythology? Who's Circe? She's the daughter of Curios, the sun god. Who is Curios? He's also Mercury. I'll also tell you this, might not like it. God is dog spelled backwards. And Cur is a dog. Okay?
Isn't it Osiris?
Cyrus?
Cyrus, the dog star, something like that.
Cirrus, Seer. I had to think about that one. I mean, I know a lot of these words. You know, I know that Sinai is a burning mountain. They say Horeb, but it's not Horeb, it's Choreb. Choreb, C-H-O-R. where we get the word char or car.
How would you relate the word cure?
Oh, that's a good one. That's exactly where you get your cure. From these guys right here.
They'll tell you what the solution is.
Right. I also told that it came from Mercury. So if you're the Curia, you're the Treasury Department, you're holding all the money, you're running the Vatican, who's the runners? The post office? And they have carriers and couriers. What was Circe's job? She's the daughter of Curios. I'm sorry, her name was not Circe. Bad faux pas. Kirky. Her job was to prostitute and defile men and turn them into swine. And what was Circus Maximus? Confusion. There's a nice article on History House called Rome's Astrodome. Talks all about Circus Maximus. Rome's Astrodome. Do we have Astrodomes in the U.S.? What are they for? Yeah. All these things you get. There was a nice idiom in the news. You know, they get the poop. That came from Circus Maximus because they were doing horses. There was horse races. There was even a letter from Pliny the Younger. He said he couldn't figure it out. He said, seeing them once, I don't understand why they got to see them more than once. If you see one race, you've seen them all. Seen one football game, you've seen them all. Seen one NASCAR race, why? They go around in a circus. That's what frustrates you. Even when you learn all this stuff and you think you've improved and evolved and all this, you go, oh, gee, man, I'm not much better than I was a few years ago. You know, I'm still doing this. I'm still doing that. And then you get caught back into things again, you know. Here's an interesting one. Let's go back into commerce with cure. Now, cure we see in medicine. I'll tell you real quick, too. This word practice that I put up, I'm going to move a little quicker. Practice came from the word practique. And I'm going to say practique is the way they spelled it in the French. A practique. Practique is what they do with vessels to clear them with a bill of health so they can either enter or leave port. Go look up ship's papers in Black's Law. You'll find a bill of health in there. I also believe this. I have not found anything to verify it, but I do believe that their 72 hours that they hold you for is based on quarantine because they're reporting you back to the port. Under practique and under ships that came in and out or left and went to other places, they would quarantine them if they had been in a place that had known infectious disease or contagions. Are there known infectious diseases and contagions in Las Vegas?
Every hotel.
Have you been in and among them? We're going to have to quarantine you for 72 hours, report you, see if your vessel's worthy to get back out once you bail it out. Right? Of course, you didn't bail your boat out. You bailed them out. Why? They're bankrupt. And to perform their action in admiralty, what did they have to do? Before you can seize that vessel, what do you have to do? Before you arrest it, what do you have to do? You have to bond your action. Why? Because if you arrest the vessel and you're wrong, you're liable. You've damaged them big time. Now, when they arrest you, do they have a bond? Have they put up a bond to write the warrant? Correct. Bob knows. Bob can talk hours of rings around me on this one, I'm sure. They're supposed to write the bond. Why? Because the warrant is a check. When you bail yourself out, who have you bailed out?
They're not bonded.
You became surety for their action.
Whatever the charge against you is, let's say that they're going to take your $300,000 house. Whose bond is supposed to be there?
Theirs.
That judge and that prosecutor, not your bond. People will come back to me and they'll say, the judge won't listen to my case on a recase unless I put up $10,000.
There you go.
Hell, he don't have to put up the $10,000 to begin with. It's the judge and the prosecutor or the plaintiff that's got to put up the bond.
Right.
And it's got to be for the full amount of what the damage can be. You'll never find it.
Since we were talking about bills of health and practicing, everybody knows who that guy is, right? Doc Tar, he's the power of the doc.
Would that be a good question to ask in any time the government is coming against you? Ask the question, Your Honor, do you have a present bond for the amount of, or in maybe even small claims court, say, Your Honor, do you have a bond covering your actions right now? And ask the prosecutor also.
Sure, I think you need a Rule 20.
All right, here's the problem I have with that. Remember earlier I said something about telling the corporation how to run their business? Why do you want to ask them that question? Are you in charge of how they run their bonding system?
Well, if they don't have it.
No. Are you sovereign? Are you coming over here saying you're sovereign? What's the question? Don knows it. I mean, he's been preaching to, he's like, he's thumped this into my head for the last 3 months. Do they have jurisdiction?
Not at all.
From the start. Now, if they do have jurisdiction, you can bring the question up. That's my opinion. It's just my opinion. I'm not saying it can't be brought up, but I think there's a superior route. I think there's a superior route to go to begin with. I tell you what, I got a ticket in Georgia, and the guy didn't want to see any of my papers. You know, I told him I didn't have a license, and I showed him I did have the old U.S. passport. But see, I'd gotten a ticket about a year and a half before that. These cops, they love to give you all kinds of secrets, man. It's wonderful. So he pulled me over. I had an old tag, 20-day tag that was been on the back of this automobile for 2 years, right? He said, well, why didn't you register the automobile? He said, do you know this tag's expired? And I went, it's not my tag. That freaked him out. They put it in there when I left the lot. I don't know why. I just didn't take it out.
What's the superior route?
Jurisdiction. Do you have subject matter jurisdiction?
Would be the question to ask.
Well, you might want to ask it in the form of a letter, or you might want to ask it directly. I mean, we're trying to stay out of their courts. That's what I'm trying to do. I've been in their courts. I mean, when I say they give you a lot of secrets, Russell ran a case, came in on a judge's motion down to South Carolina. We went to that. He filed papers with the post office and with the Port Authority coming in Admiralty, because you have to, when a vessel is docking, it has to drop off the bill of lading at the port. The next step is to take the mail to the post office. So, the courts, and from what I understand, I believe the judges are paid by customs now. I'm not sure, or the Port Authority one, but the customs is under Port Authority, or the other way around. I have another friend that did some research on this recently. All the port authorities are private corporations.
That's right.
Every single one of them.
Right.
And I don't mean all the ones in the U.S. and the ones over in England. I mean everyone in the U.S. All right, and they're all tied to one central one. I believe that's right, out of D.C.,
On the issue of traffic, court, and jurisdiction and all that,
mm-hmm.
The research that I did says that the courts do have jurisdiction over traffic matters because they are specific and they are given that through the judicial system or Congress. They do have jurisdiction over traffic matters. However, it has to be invoked through specific procedure and paperwork, and that's usually what they don't have.
If they
could just sit down in the corner and just sit down there and write traffic tickets all day long. But there has to be a specific procedure to invoke that. I asked it on one court case with an attorney that was helping this girl.
Mm-hmm.
I went in. I said, well, they don't have a verified complaint. And the attorney about turned white, and he said, well, let me call over there and see what they've got.
And no affidavit.
Next day, he called and said, you know what? They just like to go ahead and cut you loose on this one, but he wouldn't go in and ask for the verified complaint. She kept saying, "Well, what does she mean verified complaint?" And the attorney was backing and filling. He just said, "You know,
don't worry about it. Do your job."
Yeah. It was just he just kind of blew it off and everything, but got her out of it. Mm-hmm. And it's a verified complaint that invokes the jurisdiction,
right?
In a specific case, which applies to you or whoever everybody's
well,
out there.
Well, the question still is, does it apply to you?
But that goes to the matter of subject matter jurisdiction if they don't have a verified
complaint.
Well,
I'm not under Congress. I don't care what they do. I don't vote, and I don't care what they do. You know, they're operating under their contract, their constitution. They swore an oath to it. I didn't. I didn't sign it. I didn't agree to it. None of the 39 guys that they called somebody's father.
We are getting close to a break.
Okay. All right, how close are we? You want to wrap up? What do you want to do?
I got something that I wanted to add to what you're doing here.
Sure.
The problem that we have with standing in their court, if I understand this correct, and I was told right, the problem that we have is we have not signed a treaty or a contractual agreement with them to use their rules and regulations to support our problem in their court.
All right, I'll just... Right. Okay. I'll accept
because
that.
Because if we don't sign a treaty, then we are trespassing on their laws and regulations that we have no right to use.
That's called private intellectual property rights.
That's exactly what it was told to me.
Okay.
And that's the reason why I don't have standing on my paperwork in their court.
We've looked at the same. We've talked to the same person that's been talking about this. I know where that came from, and I have a lot of agreement with it. I want to real quick, if we're wrapping this up, I want to answer your question because you asked me about this word right here, right? Okay, we have other words that spin off of this one, care. When I looked at this in the way commerce operates in this country too, we all can see real clearly what this word right here is, right? Bonds, B-O-N-D-S. They have a lot of those in their commercial system. They're all based on necromancy and prestidigitation or whatever you want to call it, right? Looking through the crystal ball. We might be here from 30 years from now. We don't know, but we're going to write it anyway. What does Scripture say about making your plans? You plan for the future. You plan for your kids. You plan for your grandkids. You do all that. How do you live your life? Say today, if Yahweh's willing, we're going to go do this and this. Hey, they're writing bonds out 50 years now. It doesn't matter. It's all fictitious anyway. But bonds are bondage, period. We even went so far as to look at it and go, well, they're not only just writing bonds. These are financial derivatives because they're using derivations of our name. Right, they're financial derivatives. Warren Buffett said in his public notice in the Berkshire Hathaway report that derivatives were financial weapons of mass destruction. Who's the terrorist now? They're also selling these things. Stocks, right? Stocks and bonds. And so they call these things what? Securities. And they're dealing in the securities market. And I decided to go look up this word, secure. And I went, okay. Now, one of the things that they love to do, even though I said this is the most important part of these books is the brackets, one of the things they like to do sometimes is they like to leave out a meaning, especially when they're doing these prefixes and suffixes. I'll tell you this right now. There are no such thing as prefixes and suffixes. Everything in its origin is a root word, and it means something. And all they did was join one root word to another root word, just like they have in every language. Every symbol, everything meant something. It was joined to something else. So I went to look up the word security. And when I say that they do this kind of thing, like we'll take the word declare. In this dictionary here, it says that clare means clear. What does it tell you that DE means? It doesn't tell you in this book that it means anything. They just left it out. Now, I go one step further because I understand how they do of their obstruction. I'll also tell them, hey, if you want to play that game with me, I'll grant you that that's what you say it means. But, you know, the D-E used to be T-H-E in its origin. Now guess what I just did when I did my declaration? I just made a clear statement of fact. If you accept what he says about it, D-E is going to be a particle of negation that will negate your declaration. If you want to go in there, play subjective interpretation with the judge.
Basically, what you're saying is each word is really a sentence in a way.
Well, that's a very interesting thing, because when you're talking about jurisdiction.
What is jurisdiction?
This is the word my wife asked me when we were going to court that time in South Carolina that I didn't finish telling you the story about. Just to give you a little tidbit of how they give you these secrets, we walked in the building after we did all the filings with the Port Authority and with the Post Office. We went there on Wednesday with the Title IV flag, and we walked right in there, and the United States Marshal was standing there and said, "You gentlemen can't come in here today." Now, the Port Authority had the responsibility to be there to have the post road open that he had filed as a postal hyphen in hyphen inspector and a letter carrier. He knew he was right. But they didn't do it because the marshal said, "You can't come in here today. This is a private corporation and you don't have an appointment."
Wow. What authority does the marshal
say? What?
What authority does the marshal have to say that?
I don't know, James. He was wearing a gun. What do you want me to do about it? If you don't know, understand that power rules this planet, that's the way it's been for a lot of decades. That's why this people talk about going into court. After everything I said about the court today, how do you guys feel about going in there? I'll tell you this. I mean, I love these secrets they give. Man, it's right here in this book. You know, I went in here one day, and I was looking at this DE thing, because that's what we did with the noun format language. We went in, we disqualified so many prefixes, you couldn't hardly use any words. We said, well, we can't use them. That's negation, negation. Why? Because we were accepting their definitions. Definitions. Oh, wait a minute. But it didn't say definitions in my contract, because I knew that DE was wrong. And I use the word meaning for the claim of the meanings of the terms, right? And that's what we're learning when you're learning when the judge sentences you and he's got jurisdiction over you because he's going to sentence you. And what is he sentencing you to? Your terms, the terms you let him have, the words on the paper, right? The ones he's going to write out. So Sherry asked me that. She said, what's sentencing got to do with going to prison? This is a grammatical term. What's it got to do? It does have to do. That's what my point is here today, is that all of this stuff is tied together. And from the time we're little, this friend of mine, he was a guy, first guy I went to see at a seminar. The guy I told you about contract, or he told me I got in it by contract, all that kind of stuff. He also loved to say it throughout a three-hour seminar. He said, well, if you send your kids to Phoenician schools, they will end up with Egyptian ways. Why are we sending our kids for them to train? Do you think they're sending any of their kids anywhere else? Yeah. Or are they teaching their children how to take over when they leave? They're not training their kids. And Scripture says, who's the responsibility for that? Fathers, train your children. Fathers, train your children. When they get up and when they lie down and when they eat and when they're on the road along the way. That sounds like many hours throughout the day that you're training your children.
We're going to bring you back.
Okay.
10 minutes.
Real quick, I'm going to do the word security because I don't want to forget about it. S-E, I went to look this up. You know what the word S-E means?
Si, senor.
It means without. Without cure. So when you're dealing in securities, and what was interesting in that bracketed section, I will end on this one.
How does that go for a security agreement?
Well, it's without care. It's without cure. That's what it means. Without care or without cure. That's exactly what it means. And it's always interesting. Sometimes they'll refer you to another word. You know, they'll have a little line there that says, go see more at this word or that. Go look up another word. Yeah, you know what the word was here? See more at idiot. It's right here in this book. I got so tired of this, I said, well, you know, maybe I'll one day go look up the definition of the word definition. And it says, the act of determining, specifically, the formal proclamation of a Roman Catholic dogma. Okay, security, that's where we were. We were still in commerce. While I'm at it, I did put the word, somebody mentioned the word chaos earlier, being one of their mottos. You can see it with the Shriners. Oh, by the way, anybody know where to get that hat? It's all symbology. You've seen the Shriner's hat? Yeah, the fez, right? That was worn in the Islamics. This is where they would actually, when they killed them, you know, they'd take their hat and they'd dip their blood. It's part of their insanity. I don't give mankind much credit for evolution, I can tell you. Matter of fact, I think it's the opposite. It's de-evolving. And at the same time, there are some good things coming out of like this stuff, like, you know, groups like this and the things that Bob has done. Bob spent a lot of years planting seeds to be able to have groups like this spin off from things that he did somewhere else. And we're all charged with planting seeds. Ordo ob chaos, or order out of chaos. Actually, I just look at that as real simple. It's chaos. It's something that the powers create. Oh, you can go into any book, The Creature from Jekyll Island. Everybody's heard of that book? It's required reading for this group. Go ahead. If you're going to research, well, actually, what was interesting, this was a long time ago, I read that book. Who wrote that? Griffin. Creature from Jekyll Island, a second look at the Federal Reserve. And I'll never forget reading that book. I read four chapters. I was reading it at night. I had a pressure cleaning company at the time. I was building that business. The trader business, political office, okay. I was building that. I'll never forget one night, I was thinking about four chapters into the book, and I just could not believe that people could create a system this stupid. Oh, yeah. This is insanity. How could it possibly last? But it keeps on lasting, and it keeps on going, and, you know, maybe it can go forever. I just started laughing, laying there in bed. I just couldn't quit laughing. I was like, this is totally crazy. But in that book, you will find, I don't know what the OS stands for, actually. I'll think about it. Maybe a version of oath, because they do a lot of that. They do a lot of taking the TH off, and they convert that into an S. Okay, faith. In their system of playing games with letters, in mythology, there are three entities that were the daughters of Zeus, called the Fates. So all they did was change the little phonetic here. They didn't actually change the phonetic at all. They did on the S. That was clued in on that one night because I was being entertained by Seinfeld. I really don't watch a lot of television, but I've talked a lot about movies and stuff. Actually, I don't even watch movies really unless somebody recommends it to me because there may be some message in it. So that's typically when I say something about a movie. It's because I watched it for a specific reason, like Enemy of the State. When we flew in from St. Kitts one time, my friend had bought it for me. He's like, man, you got to watch this. He's former military intelligence. And he's saying, you see this guy run across this building right here? And this guy's tracking with his satellite? He said, I used to do that. He said, if it's in the movies, it's been declassified for 10 or 15 years. Don't worry about it. Okay. No, I was watching something, and I can't remember what it was about, but it was, had something to do with some Orthodox religion. The guy said, welcome to the fate. I went, there it is. Welcome to the fate. And the three fates were one made the thread, and the other one spun the wheel, and there was one out here with a pair of scissors. So when she cut your thread, your time was up. You ever heard that in the Christian church? Well, it was just his time to go. That's where that came from. Just like I was talking about earlier, these idioms, these things that have come, I'm not making any judgment about this. Please don't misunderstand me. I'm not. I just know that when we look at it, that it, there's a reason why mindsets and prejudices and all kinds of things that go on in the world, there's a reason why they happen. They don't just create themselves. It is conditioning. Conditioning, programming. Just watch television. You'll get programmed. They even call them programs just to make sure you get the point. Look, on the TV just for a minute, too. I mean, here's the kind of weird stuff. I used to think about this, especially when I had my contracting business, because when you're pressure washing, you get a lot of time to think because it's a mindless job. It's wonderful activity. It's wonderful. I loved it. I loved it. It was the most peaceful work I ever did. Because I got to be by myself and think, and I could work, and when I got done, you know, I could do a building or a house or anything. And when I got there, it looked bad. When I left, it looked good. You know, they're happy, I'm happy. It was great. I used to think about these things, like things that come up about, oh, it's only TV. It doesn't mean anything. Well, isn't that stupid? How many of you here watch Dracula or Frankenstein or I don't know Freddy Krueger? Any of these kind of movies that are these horror movies, right? How does the subconscious mind work? You're sitting there watching a movie. There is no such thing as a vampire, and you're scared. Not only that, your adrenaline went up, your heart rate went up, your whole alpha brainwave pattern changed. Why? Because the subconscious mind doesn't know the difference, and it thinks you're there in it. Oh, another thing on radio shows, I used to listen to Rush Limbaugh for years, 6 years, I guess. And I never could figure out after reading the book, The Creature from Jekyll Island, I was like, why is this man not talking about this? He's got to know. I mean, he's in the position he's in. He's got to know. Why aren't these people talking about this? Anyway, I don't know the exact answer, but all I could do is theorize. But they used to say things on radio programs I would listen to and stuff, or TV programs like, the children are our future. The children are our future. Is your child your future? Yours? Is your child your future? Anybody? Who's the future of who? The children are not our future. If we blow up the planet for them, they don't have one. They're not our future. But if you train a child that he or she is your future, what happens to them when they're 15 or 16? If somebody tells me that I'm their future and their future depends on me, guess what I get to do to them? I get to tell them how to walk, talk, and breathe. So we have these mindsets. It's ridiculous. Okay, so chaos is just another word. I think it comes from the word chi. This word became very important for Sherry and I in an event that happened. Sometimes in your life, you know, you need a little verification. This one came through a tragedy, a very bad tragedy. We moved last year into a house. Turned out that we rented this place. We paid the whole year up front into escrow because we don't do credit. We haven't done it for 6 years. And we happened to have the funds to be able to do it at the time. And they wanted to check our Social Security and all that kind of stuff. And I said, no, you can't do that. Because bottom line, I don't care whether you're using the credit. I mean, whether you have a good credit. I don't care if you don't have any negative credit on your credit report. If you don't have three active credit accounts, you don't have credit. And you're going to have to think of a way to build it. Well, obviously, going the sovereign route, you're trying to get away from that anyway. You don't want, why do you need credit? You know, there's other ways and other things to do. You don't want to be in this commercial realm because sovereigns don't enter the realm of commerce, by the way. the Queen of England has her money, her picture all over the money, but she has none in her purse. She has in her purse a compact and a tube lipstick so that she looks good for her people, the British subjects. Anyway, the word Kai, meaning power, we had negotiated that I could put up a fence. And during the process of doing that, I found a broken sprinkler pipe, and I waited for 3 days to get an answer back as to whether or not they wanted to fix it. 4th of July rolled around. We had moved onto a lakefront property, and some guy there decided that he was independent. He was so independent, he needed to buy $5,000 worth of fireworks and float a barge out into the middle of the lake and shoot them all off. And so two of our dogs got out. And because I hadn't finished the fence. So I'm not blaming him. I should have had the dogs in the house. I mean, I should have. It's partly to blame because the fence would have been finished if they'd have gotten back an answer to me on what to do about this. The one we loved the most was like a child to us. He got hit and killed on the highway. And we just moved in. We'd only been there a couple of weeks. And the bottom line of all that is there was so much fraud and deception in the contract to begin with, the things that he had not told us that were wrong with the house. If he had told us, we would not have moved. So it's a sore spot because things happen like this, and I still have to take responsibility that I could have had him in the house and he wouldn't have gotten hit. All that aside, I looked for him all night. I found him in the morning. He was in the median of the highway, and the other dog that got out, he was gone completely. I couldn't find him anywhere, and I was so devastated that I couldn't do anything for the whole day. I mean, I had the Barry Flash, and Sherry and John, it was beyond terrible. So the next day I put out flyers and just took stakes. It was nice. I mean, you start learning about there are some good things in the world. I went to Lowe's and I had my picture of my dog there, and I said, I need some material. And I saw these broken little pieces of 2x2 or whatever there. And I said, look, and I have some of these broken ones. And I said, I was trying to line it up, and she saw my dog and she said, what are you trying to find him? I said, yeah. She said, let me go talk to the manager. And she said, I'll find out what he'll let you have. And I came back and she had told him the story. And she said, the manager said, take whatever you want. You can have it for free. And so, you know, you get really touched by some of this because we do have capacity. We do. All of us do. So anyway, the next morning we get a call from this lady, and she says, she's locking to Sherry, and she says, I think my brother Kai found your dog. She looks at me like, and see this, when I say stuff like this, I believe the Creator talks to each of us in specific ways. Nobody else would have had this, I believe. That's just my opinion. But she looked at me and she said, the man's name is Kai. I didn't hear the phone conversation. And I just looked back at her, and because there's just weird things going on around this. My wife had already had a vision of him before I even found him that morning, because she was already gone to bed. I came in at 2:30, and she woke up and she told me, she said, I saw him on the porch here at the new house, which was odd to me, because I would be thinking she'd be dreaming about him at the old house. And she said he was very vocal. She said he sat on the porch, and I tried to call him in. He wouldn't move. It was a lot of verification here that not only was some things going on here, but there was also things that we needed to look at in our own lives. Anyway, this happened. Then the next morning, I woke up. It was 3 days after Flash had gotten hit. Told her, I said, look, I need to drive over to your mom's house because that's where we buried him. I said, I know he's not there, but I need to go. And on the way there, I had this vision of him, and it's just really weird. I don't know how to describe it, but I got to her mom's house, and it was like my arms and feet were tingling. She was like, what's wrong with you? I said, I don't have a clue, but her mom's dog, she always comes up and run. You know, Rusty will come up and want to play with me, and he's got a ball and a frisbee and all that kind of stuff. I'm telling you this because I see significance in it, whether it is to anybody else, all this language stuff, what to do with it, ultimately write dictionaries. This was confirmation to me because that dog came running up to me, and he looked at me like he just stopped dead in his tracks. He wouldn't come near me, and normally he wants to play. And so he stayed with her. He followed all around. I went over there. I kneeled down, and I said, Yahweh. I touched the dirt. I said, Yahweh, and the dog started howling. I'm like, okay. And she's looking at me, and we're just never experienced anything like this. But 2 days later was when I went to visit. I kept talking about Russell. So the nerves in the house were raw. And I told Sherry, I said, well, you and John need some time. I wasn't going to go to that seminar, but I'd been invited. So I booked a late plane flight. I went to the airport. I had to drive to Atlanta from Tampa because the flights out of Tampa were just going to take I had like 5 connections because we're going to Riverton, Wyoming, which is in the middle of nowhere. So if I drove to Atlanta, I could get a straight shot to Denver and a little puddle jumper up Riverton. And when I get to Atlanta, I drove from 11 o'clock at night till 5 in the morning. I was dead tired when I got there, and I'm in line. I'm checking out. I hear the name Kai again. I looked over, and there's a black family there, and they started writing out Chi any way I could think of writing it. And he told me how to spell it after I asked him. I wrote it out on a luggage ticket, all the meanings, everything I knew. And I said, "Who is Chi?" And he put his hand on top of his son's head, and I gave him this so that he could have it. I said, "Please give it to your son whenever you decide to." But this was confirmation to me that some of these things that I'm talking about, they're real in the sense that I don't see a reason why they should be changed unless there's an agenda. And from the time we're little kids in their schools, we're taught all kinds of things. If you want to have fun with your kids' English teachers, let me show you one to really whack them out. I told you that they like to play with the vowels and everything and the consonants and scrambling the letters around. I always like to do this one because this was simple. Anybody can understand it. Kids can understand. No magic to it. But I was walking our dogs one day, and I was just looking at all the animals. And I looked at my wife, and I said, "All these animals are communicating in vowel sounds. I have a question for you. What is the meaning of a vowel?" Well, not the definition. That's Roman Catholic dogma. What's the meaning of a vowel? What is a vowel? I don't know why I said it. I just told her. I said, "All these animals are communicating in vowel sounds." And we're taught, what are we taught in shul? A, E, I, O, and U. Sometimes Y. Did they tell us why it was sometimes and when times it wasn't and when times it was? Did they explain this? Then in some English classes, they would actually teach you that it was also sometimes a W. My only point was, as I went back to the house, I said, "Okay, well, what am I going to do with this?" So I looked up what a vowel was. I researched it all over the internet. I looked up in the dictionary. And the best thing I could come up with to make a simple explanation was a vowel is any sound that comes through the breath channel with no obstruction. This is in the book, so you can read it anywhere. And that a consonant is a sound that starts in the breath, the ruach, from here, and it gets obstructed at one or more points in its journey out through the mouth. So when we look at letters like a B or a C or a T, I think we actually pronounce the T because we have to use our tongue and our teeth. These things are obstruction. A K, you hit the roof of your mouth with your tongue. There's an obstruction there somewhere in these consonants. And this was the only thing that was revealed to me in doing this study, was that there's something crazy going on here with what they're teaching in English classes. Because I started writing down words like the word way and the word Harry, H-A-I-R-Y. There's no obstruction in the breath channel in saying that word at all. And you got five vowels joined together. H-A-I-R-Y. There's a vowel here. And I wrote out as many Y words as I could write. And I couldn't find a consonant anywhere in any of them. So what I did is I made the determination. Oh, here's another word. R-O-A-R. Now, in the English language, I'll tell you that the R is a vowel. Not in Spanish. Because they roll it. And the French roll it. Okay? So it becomes more of a rolling or a guttural or whatever. But just on a simple level, from the time that we're brought into school to learn our diction, they're not telling us the truth. They're not telling us that the H, the R, and the W and the Y are vowels. Here's an interesting one. How many people have heard it as a doctrine? I mean, set in stone doctrine, even from Hebrew teachers that I talk to, that there are no vowels in the Hebrew language. I mean, is it not? Okay. I mean, it's taught as doctrine. Okay. If a vowel is pure breath, I have one question. How do you speak the Hebrew language? Even the B, the Beit, the Gimel, which was not a C, it was a camel. They call them a Gimel. That's where it came from. The Gimel is what they call a camel. All of their letters have a meaning. They, you know, the Aleph. I'll get into a little bit of this too, symbology. They're always playing with these. I never forget, I think it was a Jehovah's Witness or somebody came to the door. They told me we were talking about names and stuff, and I mentioned the name of Yahweh. They said, "Well, there's no vowels in the Hebrew language." I said, "Really? What's the first letter?" The first letter's an A. Why is there no vowels in the Hebrew language? Well, I don't know. The only thing I could figure out is that somewhere along the line in this study that I did where we talked about this book, Come Out of Her, My People, by C.J. Coster, we see a group out there, we've already talked about them, Roman Catholic dogma. And please do not take this the wrong way. I'm not saying anything about people. I'm only talking about, look, I didn't put this word in their book where it said a definition was Roman Catholic dogma. I did not put that there. They did. Catholic, in that book, means universal. Say that again. I say it's Catholic. They probably played with the spelling. I'm sure they've done that. This is interesting, too, because we're all saying that this ties into commerce and their religion into commerce and the sun gods. What did they do? These pharaohs and Caesars and everybody who proclaimed to be son of God. We have a little lesson out of what it was in the book of Matthew where it says, well, what are we going to do about Caesar here? We're going to pay him his taxes or not? And he says, oh, well, okay, give me one of his coins. Let me tell you the story about what's going on here. He says, whose picture and whose super inscription is this? They said, Caesar. What was Caesar? What was the super inscription on the denarius? It said, son of God. Is this an illustration of this day who you're going to serve? I just think it was a question posed to them because the question really was, are you honoring my father? You're worried about what you're going to do with Caesar. What are you going to do with him? And going back to what I said about these letters right here being vowels, just to let you know real quick, I'm tying this together because when I said that there's no writing that they won't touch, I totally believe it. There's no doctrine that they won't create. Why would they create a doctrine that says there's no vowels in the Hebrew language when you can't even speak without them? The B has an E in it. The K has an A in it.
Mm-hmm.
It starts as breath, it comes out, and it gets obstructed. It has to start with a vowel. Why? Because the breath of life, the ruach, is there. Period. These letters right here in the writings of Josephus, it said that the Hebrew priest wore the headdress with the four Hebrew vowels on it.
David?
Yes, sir?
That is in the Companion Bible.
Okay, I'll take your word for it. I don't have one of those. Say that?
That's hard to find.
No, that's okay. I don't need it.
You have to get back in the appendix. It's hard to find.
I can't tell you where it's at in the writings of Josephus. I just know that we found it, that it said in there that Josephus said that the Hebrew priest wore the headdress with four Hebrew vowels. Now, whether somebody changed that or not, I don't know. I don't put it past anybody to change things in a writing. If I had the original in my hand, it would be a different story, right? Say that. Explain that. I want to tie this back to commerce. I know I got off on this tangent a little bit with religion.
Now, my question was, isn't it just a perversion and a pollution as it goes through centuries or generations and it gets touched by man, it gets perverted and polluted?
Oh, yeah. Well, touched by man, but what does that mean? I mean, is this intentional or is this unintentional?
Fallen man.
Mistake?
No, I think it's a satanic delusion.
Okay, well, I think it's delusion. Maybe some of it comes back to ego thing. Some of these other terms, like, okay, we said that chitolic means universal. I didn't write that. It's in this book. Chitolic means universal. Are things that are running around the planet that are running in commerce that are universal? Uniform, universal. But what did I say earlier about this organization? Where are all treaties and contracts and everything on this planet tied to? The Universal Postal Union. By the way, if something's universal, does that not mean one? Uni? Do I have to elaborate on it? I'm not going to. The thing here about the religion and why it was put there in commerce, in my opinion, is because from the time of the pharaohs on up to the Caesars, on up to modern day, the Son of God was the only one that could talk to God. So the people accepted this, even in Egypt. Even the king of Egypt was a son of God. If he's the only one that can talk to God, what does that mean? Well, he has a lot of power if he's the only one that can talk to God. So how does he wield his power? Well, okay, folks, we're having a festival and it's time for me to go talk to God. I'll come back and tell you what God wants. Right? Oh, God told me what he wants. He wants all you people to give me your money, your wives, your horses, your cars, your boats, your planes, your train. 3 minutes? Well, I hope you've enjoyed this then. I'm not going to go any further with this. I encourage all of us, whatever level of research, whatever it is that, see, this stuff right here, I'm passionate about because it trips my trigger. I love it. What I think I need to do with it probably ultimately is like my friend and documents that I've been doing recently, I put my own glossary in there. I put my glossary in there in my terms because if they go in there and they're going to tell me the sky is blue, and I put my contract in there where it said, nah, the sky is green. Do we have agreement?
No.
No. Can he tell me the sky is blue? What's blue? Define blue. I'll tell you this. Is this chair blue? This is where people don't think about what goes on in the world. Is this chair blue?
Maybe.
No. Is it Don, you're the physicist. Is this chair blue? It's everything but blue. Thank you. It reflects every color but blue. It absorbs blue, whatever. But blue's not blue. What is it? It's just an electromagnetic wavelength that this material locks in on through frequency. And if I had anything to say about the phonetics and the language and all this kind of stuff and what they believe about their power, Scripture says that Yahweh created the world and the universe and everything that's in it. And then sometime later on, he wrote it down. And it also says that life and death are in the tongue, not on the written paper, in the tongue. I believe that their power in written word, big time power. But I do believe there's more power in the spoken word because it's carrying energy, it's carrying frequency. And from their perspective, how many men in here go to work tomorrow and they're going to wear a tie? Oh, you're already wearing one. All right, I already told your kids how to go flip out their English teachers tomorrow by telling them they don't know how many vowels are in the English language, right? Hey, teacher, my mommy says there's 9 vowels in the English language, and here they are. Oh, teacher, would you please explain to the class? Here, I pulled out a dictionary, and this says that this is what a vowel is. How does that reconcile with what you've been teaching us? Okay, don't be belligerent about it. But I still say that everything they do is for a reason. If you look at the symbols, just like I said with Walmart, just like I showed you these pictures of the court, they do want to strip us of power. They do. And it's about white power and black power. It's about light versus no light. They are Illuminati. What have they given us? They've given us things like human. Well, what is the MN? No, what is it?
Minnesota.
In astrology, what is MN? Not astrology, astronomy. In the solar system, what would that thing be? This is the moon. This is the symbols. When they took the vowels out, because they did that with a lot of languages anyway, where they didn't put vowels in. It's amazing how I used to see those Russian names. They put 4 consonants together and they had a way to pronounce it. And that's when I figured out, hey, the vowels are in the consonants. They're still there. Well, see, if this is the moon, is this not the lesser power? Over in Britain, they have one of these. It's called a moonarchy. Yeah, he's a moonarch. Is this a hue moon? Mm-hmm. You go into some of the dictionaries where it says that a human is a monster, a moonster. This is what they do. What they did to you tonight with that tie on over there. Anybody know what the tie? Oh, you'd already know. Go ahead and answer, Rick.
You get tied.
What is the tie? What is that?
It's a tie.
Choker.
Okay, that's good. It's a choke. Ooh, it is. When a guy walks from the prize zone to the gallows, what is he called?
Hangman.
Dead man walking. Well, what's he wearing? This dude right here hanging down, and it's hanging down in front of him. So they made it look nice, and I'm sure somebody 100 years ago is just going slapping their knee, and they're going, look at all those dead men in Amaruca over there in their suit and tie. And the only time those were when the I mean in 100 years ago 150 years ago when did people wear a suit and tie? When they went to Kirk or they got buried. Thanks for listening, guys. I hope this has been beneficial. My goal, my purpose is that if I could say anything to wrap it up is that this is nice to learn about all their statutes and codes and how to go beat them up in court and how to do commercial paper and all this kind of stuff. But just like what would happen last year with our dog, there are things out there we don't understand, and those are the things that we really need to understand. My email address. Yes, I'm going to do that. I've done writings in the past. Don sent me one time. When Don and I first met, this was a good story. He wanted me to learn about jurisdiction. He wanted me to learn about jurisdiction, so he sent me a thing on jurisdiction, and somebody had done the etymology back 400 years. And I get this thing, and I call Sherry in the room, and I said, you're not going to believe this. I said, they're going to explain jurisdiction to me and the etymology of the word. I said, 400 years? Nah. Let's go back about 3,000 years. And that's why I can't, I'd already done the research on it when it came to me. So I knew that jurisdiction and what was going on in that courtroom ultimately was about whose communication was direct. Got to change that one. Communication. And whose wasn't. So I have done some writings and things on these. They're saved in my computer. Oh, man, there's so much. Do you know that there's four alphabets in the English language? Upper and lowercase print, upper and lowercase cursive. What is cursive? Cursing. We did that one, too. Developed the whole procedure to develop cursive writing. It looks pretty, but real quick, here's a good one. Does a document have to have a double witness? If you print your name, I don't have a name. I call myself William David Parker. I adopted the one that my parents chose to give me. I haven't changed it yet. May sometime in the future. That's another thing we've looked at doing that kind of blows this whole system up. I had a friend of mine that did this in court, man. The judge got mad. He was like, well, you better tell me your name right now or you're going to jail for 15 years. Over nothing. He just said that going down for 10 years. Just, my name is Desert Al. Did you change your name? Now, they had charged Michael Hill. He said, did you change your name? Did you change your name legally? He said, no, I did it by the authority of Jesus Christ. The judge said, I want him out of, he said, I don't care if he puts an X on that line, get him out of my courtroom now. See, he knew who he was. But if you print your name and then sign your name, is that a double witness? No. Does that look the same to you?
No.
What you've done here is these phonetics that used to have plus signs in here that told you how to pronounce this thing, you've joined it all together. You created one hieroglyphic out of something that used to be seven hieroglyphics. Everybody have a good evening. I've enjoyed this. Thanks.